legacy will be that of a peacemaker and unifier. That's what I want to be, a peacemaker and a unifier. I'm pleased to say that as of yesterday, one day before I assumed office, the hostages in the Middle East are coming back home to their families. Thank you. America will reclaim its rightful place as the greatest, most powerful, most respected nation on earth, inspiring the awe and admiration of the entire world. A short time from now, we are going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, and we will restore the name of a great president, William McKinley, to Mount McKinley, where it should be and where it belongs. President McKinley made our country very rich through tariffs and through talent. He was a natural businessman and gave Teddy Roosevelt the money for many of the great things he did, including the Panama Canal, which has foolishly been given to the country of Panama after the United States. The United States, I mean, think of this, spent more money than ever spent on a project before and lost 38,000 lives in the building of the Panama Canal. We have been treated very badly from this foolish gift that should have never been made, and Panama's promise to us has been broken. The purpose of our deal and the spirit of our treaty has been totally violated. American ships are being severely overcharged and not treated fairly in any way, shape, or form. And that includes the United States Navy. And above all, China is operating the Panama Canal. And we didn't give it to China. We gave it to Panama. And we're taking it back. Above all, my message to Americans today is that it is time for us to once again act with courage, vigor, and the vitality of history's greatest civilization. So as we liberate our nation, we will lead it to new heights of victory and success. We will not be deterred. Together, we will end the chronic disease epidemic and keep our children safe, healthy, and disease-free. The United States will once again consider itself a growing nation, one that increases our wealth, expands our territory, builds our cities, raises our expectations, and carries our flag into new and beautiful horizons. And we will pursue our manifest destiny into the stars, launching American astronauts to plant the stars and stripes on the planet Mars. Ambition is the lifeblood of a great nation. And right now, our nation is more ambitious than any other. There's no nation like our nation. Americans are explorers, builders, innovators, entrepreneurs, and pioneers. The spirit of the frontier is written into our hearts. The call of the next great adventure resounds from within our souls. Our American ancestors turned a small group of colonies on the edge of a vast continent into a mighty republic of the most extraordinary citizens on earth. No one comes close. Americans pushed thousands of miles through a rugged land of untamed wilderness. They crossed deserts, scaled mountains, braved untold dangers, won the Wild West, ended slavery, rescued millions from tyranny, lifted billions from poverty, harnessed electricity, split the atom, launched mankind into the heavens, and put the universe of human knowledge into the palm of the human hand. If we work together, there is nothing we cannot do and no dream we cannot achieve. Many people thought it was impossible for me to stage such a historic political comeback. But as you see today, here I am. The American people have spoken. I stand before you now as proof that you should never believe that something is impossible to do. In America, the impossible is what we do best. From New York to Los Angeles, from Philadelphia to Phoenix, from Chicago to Miami, from Houston to right here in Washington, D.C., our country was forged and built by the generations of patriots who gave everything they had for our rights and for our freedom. They were farmers and soldiers, cowboys and factory workers, steel workers and coal miners, police officers and pioneers who pushed onward, marched forward, and let no obstacle defeat their spirit or their pride. Together they laid down the railroads, raised up the skyscrapers, built great highways, won two world wars, defeated fascism and communism, and triumphed over every single challenge that they faced. After all we have been through together, we stand on the verge of the four greatest years in American history. With your help, we will restore America's promise, and we will rebuild the nation that we love, and we love it so much. We are one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. So to every parent who dreams for their child, and every child who dreams for their future, I am with you, I will fight for you, and I will win for you. We are going to win like never before. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In recent years, our nation has suffered greatly, but we are going to bring it back and make it great again, greater than ever before. We will be a nation like no other, full of compassion, courage, and exceptionalism. Our power will stop all wars and bring a new spirit of unity to a world that has been angry, violent, and totally unpredictable. America will be respected again and admired again, including by people of religion, faith, and goodwill. We will be prosperous. We will be proud. We will be strong, and we will win like never before. We will not be conquered. We will not be intimidated. We will not be broken, and we will not fail. From this day on, the United States of America will be a free, sovereign, and independent nation. We will stand bravely. We will live proudly. We will dream boldly. And nothing will stand in our way because we are Americans. The future is ours. And our golden age has just begun. Thank you. God bless America. Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you.
For those of you who are just joining us, good evening, and this is Studio 7 Live Talk. It's a special edition of the inauguration of President Donald Trump.
Performing America the Beautiful.
Having a technical problem there, but of course we are talking about the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump, who has just taken the oath of office, and he was giving a speech of what he is going to do on day one, which is today. Very, very interesting things that we are going to discuss, Gibbs, with our in-studio guest.
Yes, he has got a set of executive orders, and one of them, blessing, is not surprising, the borders. So we are lucky that we've got our guest here, Mr. Dan Moyo. He's a political activist. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having
me. Now, let's go straight into the gist of the matter. These executive orders that they are coming, at least they are saying about 100. Can you give us a rundown of what you think about some of them?
Well, the thing with Trump is you get what he says. He promised the world when he ran that he was going to be a dictator on day one. And when you look at these executive orders, you wonder whether does all the power rest on him? Is there consultation that needs to be made with other departments of the government? Is there the rule of law where these things have to be deliberated? Or is it just going to be what Trump says? If he decides tomorrow that the Gulf of Mexico is going to be called the Gulf of America, are there no laws that protect that? Will the maps just change and now be called Gulf of America just because Trump said so? So it leaves you wondering where America is going with such a president.
So,
No, well, siyazi ukuthi vele okwemncele wakhambena ngakho and kumele abonise on day one abantu bakhe, ama supporters akhe, ukuthi wenza lokhu athi uzokwenza. So, into ade siyi-expecta vele, akusinto emangalisayo kakhulu. Okumangalisayo ukuthi the way abeka ngakhona izinto makakhuluma, as if yena he's the law unto himself, ukuthi yena akungintando kayiphikiswa. Okukhulunywe nguye yikho okuzoyenzakala. Akusiyi America esiyaziyo thina, sazi America lama institutions where izinto are deliberated and then kube lo mthetho, a bill is passed and then enowakho umsebenzi ukuratifya njengopresident.
Of course, we are talking about some of the policies that Mr. Trump has promised to implement on day one. Of course, these are executive orders. There are some powers that the president has that he can use to change certain laws, but like our guest Dan Moyo is saying, there are other laws that have to pass through Congress. So he is promising a lot, but like most analysts are saying, we expect that some of his policies will be contested in courts of law. But let's look at the issue of immigration. Mr. Moyo, he says he's going to deploy troops to the southern border, and he's also going to introduce, you know, very, very tough laws to make sure that immigrants will not continue to flood into America. Let's talk about this problem of immigration in America just briefly, Mr. Moy.
Yeah, the immigration problem has been an issue for decades in this country. Whether it's a Republican government in or a Democratic government in place, the issue of borders being porous and people coming in has always been an issue and a political tool that the Republicans use mostly. And we think most of it, though, is fear-mongering. We do understand that there are borders for a reason and people have to cross in legally. That we accept. But I think not giving people protections, because remember the United Nations allows refugees. There are people who come into this country because where they come from, is there are terrible situations. And they come here to seek a better life. And it's not like that is illegal. It's something that is allowed by law. So let us allow people who are coming in to seek asylum to come in and not be stopped simply because you are now putting them all in one basket and consider them criminals, like what you think other people cross from Mexico, for instance. There are people who bring in guns, we understand. There are people who bring in drugs. Yes, those people need to be stopped. Mm-hmm. But I think legal migration should still be considered a priority for America.
Mr. Trump might say, you know, he is the people's mandate. You said what you see is what you get. That's what he promised to do on day one, which is today. And the people voted for that.
Yeah, but what does that mean? Because Trump has a way of speaking in a vague manner. Does it mean that now legal immigration is also now under scrutiny? Or is he still regarding talking about illegal immigration and criminals crossing the border? I think we have to be able to dissect issues and understand clearly what exactly does he mean by these new stringent conditions he wants to put on immigration.
And he's actually promised to fight against cartels, that is, foreign terrorists. Then comes in the issue of, defeating record inflation, which is a problem. And he says they need to address that very, very urgently. At the same time, he is saying he's ending the Green New Deal. You remember it?
Mm-hmm.
And then comes in the declaration of a national emergency. Drill, baby, drill. Drilling oil. Then there's this issue, Mr. Moyo, which seems to be most probably problematic, the two-gender issue. So he says from today onwards, there's only one thing, a man and a woman.
Can you really pass an executive order that orders that there can only be two genders in America? I don't think so. These are the kind of things that worry me when I hear a president speak like Trump. There are certain things, yes, that you can do with executive orders, but I don't think you can tell people what gender they want to be. I don't think he has that authority. Ucindezela abantu kukhona yonke indawo akusikho ukuthi into right. Umunye nomunye umuntu unempilo yakhe ayinikezwa uNkulunkulu wakhe. Waye ungamnyekeli umuntu khonapho ukhuluma ngama rights abantu. Uthi uzoyenza izinto zonke amalungelo abantu wonke avuleke. Kodwa at the same time before within that same sentence ukhuluma ngoncindezela enye gender yabantu.
To dzokera kune imwe nyaya yambotaurwa na Gibbs. Trump varikutiwo varikuda kuti vaise mitero kana kuti ma taxes kune zvinhu zvese zvichanga zvichiuya muAmerica tingapa muinzaniso zvinenge zvichibva kuChina vachiti varikuda kuti vaprotect vanhu vemuAmerica. Munoti kudini mashoko iwayo?
Maonero angu ndeyekuti handioni kuti zvinoshanda sei zvekutaura naTrump zvekuti iye achakwidza mitero from zvinhu zviri kuuya munyika. Because zvibvunze kuti zvinhu zviri kuuya munyika zviri kutengwa nani. And therefore businessmen anenge azviunza. Obviously anoisa markup yake inokava chi, makosi ake anoinkluda chi, matarifs iwawo. Saka on one hand Trump arikutaura ticharedusa inflation. Unoiredusa sei inflation uchiimposa tax ichakwidza mitengo yezvinhu. Saka it's oxymoronic kwandiri kuti unoudza vanhu one thing kuti ndichadzikisa inflation asi uko ndichadhurisa zvinhu zviri kupinda munyika. Because ma taxes, ma tariffs ndozvaanoita, anodhurisa zvinhu zviri kupinda munyika.
Gibbs.
Now looking at how things are going, you know, Mr. Trump appears to be unhappy with freedom of expression and all those kind of things. And is looking at having some government efficiency department. Is it really going to clean up the government, and how? How is it going to do it?
Well, if you look at the nature of the people he's putting there to run that efficiency department, the likes of Elon Musk. Elon Musk is a businessman. And sometimes, yes, government moves slowly, and sometimes government fails in a lot of things. We have seen it even during his own tenure. And when you look at a businessman like Elon coming in, whose main focus really is to line his pockets, he has got government contracts for Starlink and for the NASA project he's doing with SpaceX. So all those things, he's the one who's benefiting a lot from what comes out of the government because of those government deals. You now bring him in and you tell him to run the government efficiency. What exactly are you saying? What message are you sending to the people that this very person who's a multi-billionaire is now going to tell you how to run the government, which he, I see a conflict of interest, a big conflict of interest in what Elon Musk stands for and him being a lead in this government efficiency.
But I think Republicans might beg to differ, Mr. Moyo, and say that he is running his X platform efficiently. When he came in, he fired a lot of people, and the company seems to be doing well. And well, it's also a Republican policy that they don't want a big government. That's why they want it to be more efficient. So it's what you voted for, isn't it?
I totally understand that the mm-hmm. people get the government they deserve. But for you to think that Twitter, ex-former Twitter, is now grown is actually untrue. Twitter was worth $44 billion when Elon Musk bought it. And now if you look, Twitter is down to $10 billion. So it has lost value. It shows that the whatever model that Elon Musk is applying on X is not working. He has lost a lot of advertisers because of the same thing, that he opens up the airwaves of Twitter for anyone to spew their propaganda, to spew their hate, and advertisers are running away from X right now. So X has actually lost value from the time that Elon Musk bought it.
Yeah, asikhulume ngo Trump lapho uthi uzoba umlamla nkunzi. Peacemaker, unifier, and lokuthi kumiswe izimpi esikhona. Njalo ukhuluma ngokuthi ke kuzathatha iPanama Canal. Kuzakuba nzima njani khona kanganani kwePanama Canal. Kuzobuya la khona ukuthi abe peacemaker, umlamla nkunzi.
Yeah, lapha zithi ungumlamla nkunzi uTrump, mina angiboni ngoba even ispeech sakhe lesi sihlukene kakhulu namanye amaspeech ama-acceptance speech anikezwa ngamanye ama-president adlulileyo. UTrump usawunda njengomuntu olokhu ecampaigna right now. Izinto ayezikhuluma ku-campaign trail yi-same zinto alokhu ezikhuluma manje. Lethi ngunikeze i-example ma ukhuluma nge-peacemaking. Ukhulume i-statement esama lokhu njana la abathunjwayo e-Israel abaseGaza lapha. Uthe bayaphuma kusasa. And kazange amention uBiden kayi-1. Yet uBiden uyena onegotiate idili le yokuthi abantu laba barilizwe nabantu beGaza. So ma ungumuntu owakhayo, ma usithi ufuna ukuunifya, wouldn't that have been an opportunity yokuthi ubonise umphakathi ukuthi wena uyahlanganisa abantu? Umncomo uBiden for into ayenzileyo akusikho ukuthi ngoba namhlanje usephuma ukuba ngupresident sokungena wena, into ayenzileyo izolo wena awusoze even iyinto enhle, usuthatha i-credit wena ukuthi wobe besaba mina, that's why bekwenzile lokho.
I-politics phela injengebhora, uthi umuntu angafake i-penalty uyenzani? Yasikhona, so lapho uthole vele sokule phela phela.
No, but mina ngibona ukuthi kuyamehlisa izinga because abantu bayazi ukuthi akusuye okwenzileyo lokho, kwenziwe nguBiden. So uma ukuthi ufuna ukuunifya, why ungasho ukuthi hayi uBiden wenza into enhle?
I think we have our other guest, Pearl Matibe. Pearl, can you hear me? Hello, Pearl?
I think maybe
we might be having a challenge there. But of course, for those of you who are just joining us, this is Studio 7 Live Talk. And tonight on Live Talk, we are talking about the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump. He took the oath of office at 12 p.m., that is Eastern Time in America, and soon after that he delivered a speech promising to sign hundreds or several executive orders on day one, which include the issue of immigration, and also saying that the United States of America was going to take over the Panama Canal from Panama, alleging that the deal when America gave back the Panama Canal to Panama. The deal was that it was supposed to be neutral, but Mr. Trump is claiming that Americans are being shortchanged, that is, American ships, because the Panama Canal connects the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean. So it's vital, and he's promising that he's going to take it back. He also said that he was going to go back to his slogan, a drill, baby drill, meaning that America will be drilling oil, something that the outgoing Biden administration or the Biden administration was doing. But Mr. Trump is saying that that is not enough. Gibbs.
Thank you so much, Blessing. Now, listen to geopolitical analyst Pearl Matibe. Matibe, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you hear me, Matibe?
I can hear you. Thank you so much for having me.
I can hear you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So, Pearl, just tell us briefly about, you know, this inauguration and what Mr. Trump has just said about the orders he's taking today, day one of him in office.
Well, this was very much expected, as you already know. You know, the inauguration committee has been briefing us. Secret Service has been briefing us. And so we had kind of an idea as to what we were going to expect from his speech today. Yes, of course, today is also Martin Luther King Day, as well as the inauguration day. So this presidential inauguration comes with some symbolism, some controversies, and of course, some exceptional logistical issues here. They were running a little bit slightly behind schedule, so you saw Vice President Vance took his oath just about a minute before noon. It should have been at about 11:47 so that that transition of power would have been smooth at 12 o'clock, but that didn't quite pan out. There were a little few minutes off the clock there, running behind, and so President Trump took his oath a little after 12 o'clock. Of course, we know that as Biden's term ends and Donald Trump is now sworn in as the 47th president, his oath was really 35-word statement, right, that ends in "So help me God," which was administered by the Chief Justice John Roberts. And as you're quite asking now about President Trump's speech, this is expected. We're expecting him now immediately to sign probably well in excess of 50 or more executive orders, which are going to take place immediately. I mean, I already knew, we were already sort of in the know from briefings that he intends with this declaring the state of emergency through executive order, that we expect that the southern border is going to be closed, probably effective immediately. So let's just see how things pan out right now. I may have to drop off here real quick because what's left now in the schedule, pretty much, is that what happens now is President Biden and Dr. Biden will leave the Capitol, and they will now head to Joint Base Andrews. Their plan for the rest of the day is that Biden will deliver remarks, sort of farewell remarks to his staff, and he will do that from Joint Base Andrews, and then they're going to be headed to California. They should be in California by 4 o'clock this afternoon. Meanwhile, of course, now normally we were taking our briefings from Biden's White House. So President Trump should now be fully moved in, and we now will be taking our briefings now. I'm now officially taking my briefings from the Trump White House. So, you know, I'll be, you know, looking at things now from the lens of the new president, effective immediately.
Thank you so much, Pearl, for giving us insights into what is happening.
No, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. But I think that whatever people thought today was going to be, Trump's intention and what he's going to act out immediately with the signing of the pen mm-hmm. is he wants to is what they're calling shock and awe. Shock and awe is a military term which is used to if people thought things were going to be happen slowly, today he intends to really shock everybody and mm-hmm. implement what he says his voters asked him to do. And so the mass deportations is number one. Well, let's just see. He's implemented this new, he's bringing back a very old law. This mm-hmm. law was implemented.